Having previously heard vague tales of a wealthy country further down the Napo, Francisco de Orellana, Gonzalo Pizarro's second-in-command and cousin, suggested that he split off part of the expedition to see if he could obtain supplies. Pizarro agreed, and Orellana set off in the expedition's prized boat on December 26, 1541, with a crew of 59, Carvajal among them. Orellana and his men spent 5 months floating down the Amazon, Carvajal recording every moment. It is inconceivable that their surroundings did not induce awe. Vastly bigger than any river in Europe or Asia, the Amazon contains a fifth of the Earth's above-ground fresh water. It has islands the size of countries and masses of floating vegetation the size of islands. Half a dozen of its tributaries would be world-famous rivers anywhere else. Encounters with the river's inhabitants were frequent and often hostile. Passing the native domains strung along the river was like passing a line of angry hives. Forewarned of the visitor's arrival by drum and messenger, Indians awaited them behind trees and in concealed canoes, shot fusillades of poisoned arrows, then withdrew. A few miles downriver would be the next group of Indians and the next attack. Except when demanding food, the expedition navigated as far as possible from every village. Carvajal wrote little about the peoples who spent so much time trying to kill him, but the small amount he did write depicts a crowded and prosperous land. Approaching what is now the Peru-Brazil border, he noted that the farther we went, the more thickly populated and the better did we find the land. One 180-mile stretch was all inhabited, for there was not from village to village a crossbow shot. The next Indians down the river had numerous and very large settlements and very pretty country and very fruitful land. And just beyond them were villages crowded cheek by jowl. There was one day when we passed more than 20. In another place, Carvajal saw a settlement that stretched for 5 leagues without there intervening any space from house to house. Near the mouth of the Tapajós, about 400 miles from the sea, Orellana's ragtag force came across the biggest Indian settlement yet. Its homes and gardens lined the riverbank for more than 100 miles. Inland from the river, at a distance of 1 or 2 leagues, there could be seen some very large cities. A floating reception force of more than 4,000 Indians, 200 war canoes, each carrying 20 or 30 people, greeted the Spanish. Hundreds or thousands more stood atop the bluffs on the south bank, waving palm leaves in synchrony to create a kind of football wave that Carvajal clearly found peculiar and unnerving. His attention riveted to the scene, he for once noted some details. Approaching in their great canoes, the Indian soldiers wore brilliant feather cloaks. Behind the canoe armada was a floating orchestra of horns, pipes, and rebecs like 3-stringed lutes. When the music played, the Indians attacked. Only the tremendous surprise created by the Spaniards' firearms provided the opportunity to escape. Orellana died in 1546 on a second failed voyage to the Amazon. Carvajal went on to achieve modest renown as a priest in Lima, dying peacefully at the age of 80. Neither Orellana's journey nor Carvajal's account of it received the attention they merited. Indeed, Carvajal's work was not formally published until 1894. Part of the reason for the lack of attention is that Orellana didn't conquer anything. He simply managed to emerge with his life. But another part is that few people believed Carvajal's description of the Amazon.